Aren't you glad for the Holy Spirit this morning? You know, I feel it come a flush over me up here this morning. You know, the Bible says it will come sometimes in a still, small voice. And then he said it sometimes it'll come like a mighty rushing wind. I've seen it come both ways. And I'll just tell you, I like it either way.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. I've seen it move this morning up here when the singers were singing, and I just feel such a warmth and such a good feeling spirit this morning. And it ain't gone anywhere. It's still here.
Amen.
I seen it move last Sunday night. Like a mighty rushing wind. I know a little bit, I think, of what the day of Pentecost was like when the promise was sent that he had promised them. And when he came, just all of a sudden, it was almost scary, wasn't it? That the power of God that was in that place. He's still the same God this morning.
Amen.
It was our last Sunday night. If you have your Bibles and you want to look with me here, in Luke chapter 6, verse 7, I guess I got that right this morning. Stand with me as we read here for a little bit, and then we're going to share some of this word that God will allow us to share this morning. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 7, but I'm going to start reading at verse 6. And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught, and there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts, and said to the man which had the withered hand, "Rise up and stand forth in the midst." And he arose and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, "I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it?" And looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, "Stretch forth thy hand." And he did so, and his hand was restored whole. And they were filled with madness and murmured one with another what they might do to Jesus. Heavenly Father, we bow our head once again this morning, and Lord, surely we thank you for the Holy Spirit, Lord, that is here right now, God. Father, we just pray this morning, Lord, if there's one here in this building that don't have you this morning, we pray, God, that this will be the day that they come up and receive salvation this morning from you. Father, we pray this morning if there's one that's sick in body, we pray, God, that you will touch it this morning. We pray, Lord, if there's one here that's sin sick this morning, we pray, God, that they will come and receive, God, forgiveness this morning. Father, if there's one here just come seeking, Lord, for a blessing and for a fulfilling of the Spirit, I pray, God, this morning, that they'll open up their heart, God, and receive it, because I believe you're a God of many things. I believe you're a God that is able to meet each and every need in this place today and in our life each and every day. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your understanding, your mercy, your grace, your love. And we ask now, God, your blessings upon the reading of this word this morning. We pray, God, that you will bless these people, bless this pastor this morning, anoint him afresh this morning as he stands and tries to feed your sheep this morning. And we ask these things all in Jesus' name, and all the church said amen.
Amen.
As I began to read this, and I've read it and probably preached, I've got this Bible marked up, but I was sitting there and I just picked the Bible up and I began to read, and it came apart at this scripture here in verse chapter 6, and I began to read it, and it said, "And it came to pass on the second Sabbath after the first." And I just kept reading there, and then I got over here in verse 6, and it said, "And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue, and he taught, and there was a man whose right hand was withered." So I began to think about something, and I just went back over in the chapter 5, and I began to read. And you know sometimes how you can just read and read and read and read, and it just seems like that there's nothing there. It seems like that nothing is not jumping out at you. And then sometimes, you know, you can just pick the Bible up and just open it up and start reading and say, "Lord, why haven't I seen this before?" Uh-huh. Amen?
Amen?
That's God, isn't it?
Amen.
That's Jesus.
Yeah.
And so as I began to read this, and it said, "And it came to pass also on another Sabbath." Well, in verse 1, it also talked about a second Sabbath. And so I back over and I started reading. And the Bible said in verse 21 in chapter 5, "And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Is this which speaketh blasphemy? Who can forgive sins only?" But it also tells us there that when Jesus was in the temple there and he was teaching, and just a number of places there, you can see that when Jesus was in the temple, he had some company there. Amen. He had some called the Pharisees, amen, and the scribes. You say, "Well, who are the Pharisees and who are the scribes?" Well, the Pharisees is really the leader of the temple. They're the one that is high up in the temple. And the scribes, they work together. They studied the law. Amen. And so the Pharisees really was the one that set the laws in their church. Or let me not say laws. Let me say their doctrine. Amen. They made their own doctrine and their temple and their church, and then the scribe would study it, and they would see and they would teach their doctrine. Amen. And you say, "Well, what is wrong with that?" I'll tell you what was wrong with it. It was the Pharisees' doctrine and not the Lord's doctrine. Amen. You see, there's a great big difference there in that. If you'll help me preach this morning, I promise you I won't stay over 2 hours. And so there was a difference there. Amen. But you can see, it seemed like that Jesus went into the temple to preach or to teach, that here these Pharisees were. Now let me tell you something. You say, "Well, at least they were faithful." Yeah, they were faithful. But amen, why? They wanted to, they was only there, amen, to find fault with Jesus. That's the only reason that they came. You know the Bible is full in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, of where the Pharisees and the scribes tried to take Jesus down. Amen. They tried to destroy him. Everything that he said and everything that he taught, they had another doctrine on it. You see, friend, this morning, there's a lot of churches today that's in trouble. You say, what do you mean, preacher? I'll tell you what I mean, Brother Larry. They've got their own man-made doctrine. They say we're going to run it this way. And if you don't like it, you can move on. When you get to the point that you're making your own doctrines up and telling people how to live and what to do, you're going to be in bad shape. But now if you get your doctrine out of the Word of God, it's all right, amen, to follow ahead. But I'm going to tell you, I don't know about you, but I don't need some man. I don't need some church Pharisees telling me how I've got to live. I don't need them to tell me what I've got to wear. I don't need them to tell me how I've got to act. I don't need them to tell me when to get up and when to go to bed. Amen. Why? Simply because I'm a Jesus man. I'll just tell you. Amen. I want to tell you. I am on the Jesus team this morning. Glory be to God. And when I'm on the Jesus team, He is my leader. Amen. And I'm going to live and I'm going to do just what He says. And I found out if I do it, I may be the only one get blessed in the house, but I'm going to receive my blessing, and I'm not going to worry about yours. Amen. Who remembers the message I preached on last Sunday morning? Who can tell me what it was? On what?
Attitude.
On attitude. Woo, boy, was it quiet there for a while. I mean, it got quiet. Oh, but my friend, let me tell you. Sometimes when you think, Mark, they're not listening, they're taking it in. I said, they're taking it in. Man, they walked in over to church Sunday night. We walked up there and church got started. I was sitting by Brother Larry. I reached over and I whispered and I told him somebody was singing. I said, Larry, I said, the Holy Ghost is in this place. He said, brother, he said, I feel it when I come through the door. I want to tell you, we didn't say nothing to nobody else about it, but me and him knew it. Well, let me tell you, it didn't take long that we found out that the whole church felt it. I've never heard such. I don't think in my life. I've been going, Mark, for 35 years. I've been in some great revivals. I've seen the Holy Ghost fall. I've seen them slain the Spirit. I've seen the power of God hit. But I don't think I ever seen it hit as hard and as quick as it did over there Sunday night. Well, glory. I've had people to ask me this week, Brother Ralph, what happened Sunday night? I don't know. You'll have to ask somebody else. I've asked others what happened. I asked sis this morning up here. I said, sis, what happened Sunday night? She said, I don't know. I said, what do you mean you don't know? She said, I think everybody came to church and everybody was obedient to God. I want to tell you, church, if you want to get blessed, you come in with the right attitude and you come in with one thing on your mind, and that's to lift up hands and praise God. You can't come into God's house all sold up and all mad. Amen. You can't do that. That's just what the Pharisees done.
That's exactly, brother.
When they heard Jesus is in town and they knew He was going to be in the temple, they didn't like it.
That's right.
You know, you can read where they got together and they whispered and they murmured. They talked about, what are we going to do with this man? What are we going to do with him? And this was just one of many occasions. Here the Bible said that Jesus went into the house on the Sabbath day. And the Bible said the scribes and the Pharisees, they sat in there and listened and they watched Him. Don't get quiet on me. They watched Him. Watched who? They watched Jesus. Now, don't you know that Jesus was in the house? But don't you know? But don't you know that That must have been a bad feeling for Jesus. It does me when I'm up here preaching and I feel sorry for the singers or Sunday school teachers or musicians or whoever's up here, Brother Mark. I feel my heart goes out to them. Amen. When they're up here singing their hearts out. Amen. The message is in song or teaching the message in song or teaching the message in Sunday school class or somebody up here preaching. Amen. And all the rest of it just sits back there. Amen. All sold up. You know, you don't have to. These people up here in this pulpit, sometimes I wonder why it's hard to get them up here. But then after I look back over the crowd, I understand why it's hard to get them up here. Amen. I mean, I want to tell you something. Chuck Connie's making a shirt here, and it says Team Jesus on it. If you want a shirt, you see her, and she will get you one. But let me tell you, when you put it on and you walk in here or out there in the world, you better know who you're represented, amen. And if you're going to be on Jesus' team, you're going to have to straighten up, amen. And we're going to have to get dedicated. How many wants to be on Jesus' team? Hallelujah. See, these Pharisees, they wasn't a Jesus man. They wasn't a Jesus man. They wasn't on Jesus' team. They was on the Pharisee and the scribe team. And the Bible said that they watched Jesus. Whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation. They watched him. See, Jesus seen this man that had a withered hand. He seen this man, Brother Mark, sitting in there. But he also saw the religious sect of people sitting there. And he also saw them too. Now let me tell you, this boy with a withered hand was paralyzed. He had no clue what was going to happen to him.
Right.
He just came to church, I think, to see Jesus.
Amen.
Hey, man, he just heard it. He's going to be there. And he came to, he didn't come to see the Pharisees. He didn't come to see the doubters. He didn't come there to see those, amen, that was trying to destroy Jesus. He came to see Jesus. Amen. And the Bible said he saw him sitting there. And these Pharisees, they were there for one reason, and that's to try to find fault with Jesus. Oh, God, here we go. And let me tell you something. When we come to the house of God to try to find fault with a brother or sister, we are in church for the wrong reason. Amen. The house of God is no place for that. Matter of fact, there's no place for that. The Bible says the devil, hey man, is accuser of the brother and the sister. But when we come to church, hey man, to God's house, Mark, and if you sit there and I'm sitting right here and you don't like me, you've offended me and I've offended you, and we sit here sold up looking at one another, do you think that God is going to give us a blessing? He's not going to give us a blessing, amen. But when we come in here, if I offended you and you've offended me, and I say, Brother Mark, will you forgive me? And you say, yes, Brother Ralph, I'll forgive you. And then I'll love you, Mark. And then we're going to have church. You know why? Because that's what Jesus said today. And if we're going to be on Jesus' team, that's what we're going to have to do.
That's right, brother. Amen.
There's people there, it's sad, but it's the truth.
Amen, brother.
And the Bible says if you know the truth will set you free. There are some people go to churches everywhere, every Sunday. They wouldn't miss at all. But they don't go to receive anything from the Lord. They go to see what somebody's wearing. They go to see what color of necklace Connie's got on. They come to see what color of shoes you wear. His lady told me one time, she said, Brother Ralph, she said, I got up and got ready for church. And she said, I got to church. And she said, Lord, she said, I ain't going to sing. I ain't going to do nothing. Why? She said, I've got on two different kinds of shoes. I said, girl, I hope people didn't come to look at your feet. Hey, man. But that's people, Brother Lord.
Yeah.
Is that the truth or not? There's some people come to try to find fault with any little... It don't take much from a find fault to make it excuse to try to destroy Jesus. Amen.
Yeah.
That's what they're there for. And you know the accusations they're going to make. And they're there. They say, uh-oh. There's that withered man with a withered hand. All paralyzed, all drawn up. He's here today. This man calls himself Jesus. Oh, this great healer. Let's watch him and see what he does today. This is a Sabbath day, and he better not heal that boy. That is against our doctrine. We do not allow any healing in the temple on the Sabbath day. We don't allow anything on the Sabbath day. All we want to do is just come in here and sit down and try to straighten you people out that don't want to follow our laws, follow our doctrine. Hey, man, we'll watch him. He probably knows better, but we'll watch him. Thing about it was, every time you read in the Bible that where these Pharisees was in the temple at, trying to catch Jesus, he was always one step ahead of them. They was always following him. Hey, man, they was always following him. And he's sitting over there, and the Bible said Jesus knew their thought. Jesus knew what they were thinking, Sheriff. Ain't that something? You say, oh, I don't believe it. Jesus knows what you're thinking right now.
Amen, brother.
You may be in the back, sitting in a corner like Ronnie back there, or Lloyd, but let me tell you, Jesus knows what you're thinking right now.
Oh, yeah.
He knows what you're thinking. He knows what we're all thinking. You say, oh, God, I better quit thinking what I'm thinking. If it ain't right, you'd better quit thinking
it.
It'll get you into trouble if you keep on. Amen. And they said, and Jesus knew it. Jesus knew what it was. And what did he say? And the Bible said in Jesus, but he knew their thoughts. He knew their thoughts, but notice who spoke to him. And he said to the man which had the withered hand, he said, rise up.
Yeah.
Walked there, he said, rise up.
Mm-hmm.
What did that young man do?
He got up.
What do you think would happen to him, Mark, if he passed by you and he told you to rise up and you just sat there?
Wouldn't get nothing.
You wouldn't get nothing.
That's exactly.
That goes to show us sometimes we need to stand up and praise God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
We need to come unglued from our seats sometime like we did Wednesday, something Sunday night. Sir. And everybody start praising God, and you're going to see things happen. Amen.
Yeah.
And he told that young man, he said, rise up. And he said, it stand forth in the midst. He might not have been like Ronnie. He might have been like Ronnie back there on that back seat.
Yeah.
But Jesus wanted him to stand in the midst of all the people. Especially the Pharisees, especially the doubters, especially the one who was wanting to crucify him.
He's going to show him,
wasn't he? You better believe it. He's going to show
him.
And the Bible said, he said, stand in the midst of them. Stand in the midst of them. And the young man got up and he stood in the midst of them. And what happened? Then said Jesus unto them. And then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? Now, Jesus asked them a question. It ought to have been a simple answer come to it. Is it right to do good on the Sabbath or is it not right to do good on the Sabbath? Is it right to... Somebody comes in your church, is it right if we don't pray for them, if we don't call upon God to heal them? Is it wrong for us to come together in God's house and to pray for the sick and the shut in? We've seen people heal time and time and time again. Matter of fact, God, sometime down through life, It's no telling how many times God has healed you. You may not have recognized it, and you might have just took something for granted. But let me tell you, we've all been to the point sometime in life that God has touched our lives. Amen. God has healed us in some way, somehow. And Jesus knew they were sitting there, and he knew that they were there for that reason only, to watch and see what he was going to do with that man. Amen. To see if he was going to break their doctrine. And buddy, if you break my doctrine, you're going to answer to us. Amen. And that's the way a lot of churches are. You don't wear what we tell you to wear. You don't comb your hair the way we tell you to comb it. You have had it when you come to church. You just need to not come if you don't dress like we do, talk like we do. Let me tell you, that's a sad situation for a church to get in. Amen. And they sat there and they watched Jesus. Jesus didn't do nothing. He just got up and told that young man, he said, rise up. That man, that young man, could you imagine him sitting there and saying, Lord, what have I done, Jesus? What have I done? Sitting there, and Jesus walked up to him, sitting there with his hand probably all up. And Jesus said, rise up, boy. And he got up. So now come here and stand in the midst. And that boy thinking, boy, I've really had it now. What have I done? Hand all crippled up and bowed up, couldn't straighten it out. Walked up to Jesus, and he looked at the Pharisees and the scribe. He said, is it good to do good on the Sabbath or to do bad on the Sabbath? You know something? They didn't answer him. They didn't answer Jesus one word there at that time. And there that boy was standing there going, what's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to me? And Jesus said, stretch forth thy hand, son. Stretch forth thy hand. I don't know what was going through that man's mind. But the Bible says that he stretched forth his hand. You're saying Jesus touched it. It don't say nothing about Jesus touching it. He just stretched it forth. And the Bible said his hand was made whole like the... Whoo! Can somebody give God a praise this morning? Amen. And I thought of that when Janetta said we come into church last Sunday night and everybody was obedient.
Yeah.
Obedience was what healed that boy.
Amen,
amongst a bunch of unbelievers. See, Jesus really didn't care what the Pharisees thought. Did you know it?
No.
We spend more time worrying about things that we cannot control than we do the things that we can.
Yes.
Hey, man, I'll guarantee you, we spend more time worrying about things this coming week. We'll worry about this. We're a bunch of worry wards. Hey, man, Larry, we'll worry about this. We'll worry about that. We'll worry about this. We'll worry about that. We'll say, Lord, we ain't got time for this. Lord, we ain't got time for that. Lord, we can't do this. Lord, we can't do that. Lord, I don't know what's the matter with all my time. God gives us the 24 hours a day. Hey, man, and it's a shame that we can't give him a couple hours a week in his house to worship him and praise him.
Exactly. Amen, brother.
Hey, man. Let me read you one more verse over here before I quit. Well, I might read you a little while of it. And Jesus went ahead teaching there. And the Bible said, and they were filled with madness and commune. That meant joined together one with another. And they began to talk about what can we do with this man. We've seen enough of him. We've heard enough of him. We've heard enough of him. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain there to pray, and he continued. Let's say he continued all night in prayer to God. And then he began to call all of his disciples to him. And when he got them there, then he began to teach them there on the Mount of Olives. He said he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, Blessed be the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. He said, blessed are they that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day. Listen to this. Rejoice in that day. And he said, leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For manner did their fathers unto the prophets. But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall be hungry. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. In verse 26, he said, and woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Let me tell you, friends, I read that last verse I read there, and I saved it to last. We all want pats on the back. Amen? We all want people to tell us how good we are. I'm telling you what, John Hagee, I said one time, he was talking about that, and he said, I get a mailbox, he said, all week long, the mail pours in, telling me how good I am and how perfect I am. He said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, I take it very lightly. He said, I don't even sit down and read the most of it. When people write me and tell me how good I am and how perfect I am, because he said, I'm not good and I'm not perfect. Hey, man, he said, I'm a human being like anybody else. And that's what Jesus was talking about. He said, woe unto you when all men speak well of you. I'm going to tell you something, friend. You better be careful when everybody starts speaking well of you. And tell you what, people say, well, I want everybody to love me. Well, you might want everybody to love you, but I got news for you. Everybody don't love you. Hey, man, you say, well, I want everybody to pat me on the back. I'm going to tell you, a lot of them will pat you on the back, but you better be careful. There'll be a stick and a knife in you with the other hand. Hey, man, I'm telling you the truth, church, and Jesus knew this. Let me tell you something. Man, somebody, Cheryl, somebody can just say something about me a little bit, a lie, a little lie. Well, there ain't no little lie, Lord. Let's preach it the way it is. There ain't no little lie, no such a thing as a little lie or a big lie. But they tell something about you that ain't right. Does that stir you up? Be something. Be sincere. Be honest. It does. Boy, there's an honest person. What about you, Brother Larry? What about you? What about you, Sheriff? These people's honest. I wonder, what about you there? What about you, Mark?
Makes me mad.
It does.
Makes me mad.
What about you, Sheriff? Anybody ever make you mad? Yep. Now, Connie there, she's perfect. Connie, perfect. You can't make her mad. I'll better back up there a little bit. I've seen her pretty hot style a time or two. But that's the human side of us, ain't it? We all like for everybody to say good things about us. But the fact of it is they're not going to. Amen? Jesus was no different. He was no different. He said when they laugh at you, make fun of you, persecute you for my name's sake. What did he say to do? He said, leap with joy. Leap with joy. Give God praise. He told the disciples one time, there's a grown man, he said, what are you talking about? And he tells us all, he said, everybody ain't going to like you, but don't worry about it. Hey, man, Brother Larry, don't worry about it. He said there's some people that are going to persecute you spiritually, amen, and he was feeding if they can. He said, don't worry about it. He said, don't get all upset about it. Who do you think you are? He said, just remember, he said they done it to me before they done it to any of you, amen. He said, so would they do it? Don't get mad and give the devil an opportunity to beat you out of a blessing. If you know you're doing right and you know you're in the will of God, I don't know about you, but I don't really care what people think. Brother Lord, when I'm doing the will of God, and I know I'm in the will of God, amen. And everybody else may stand against me sometimes, but if I've been on my knees of praying to God, Cheryl, and I've been in the Word of God, and I've been talking to my King of King, Lord of Love, and I know what He tells me, then I'm going to stand on it. I don't care if the whole church and the whole world stands against me. I'm going to take my stand for what I know that is right in the will of God this morning. Well, why are you that way? Because I'm on Team Jesus. You say, preacher, now wait just a minute here. I know I've seen you lose your temper a few times. I have. See, I can be honest too, Cheryl. That's a human side. But you know something, Cheryl? You can say anything about me you want to, and oh, I could make me mad and all. And I might just say things back to you. But you know something? You give me about 10, 15 minutes with the Lord a hold of me, and it's all gone from me. I'm going to come back and hug your neck and ask you to forgive me and tell you that I forgive you. I'm not one to hold a grudge. You know what will happen? A grudge? It's like a cancer. It'll eat you up inside. There's people today that's miserable. There's people today that it's miserable, Brother Lloyd, because they've allowed Satan to put hate in them, and it's just eating and eating and eating and eating. Don't be that way this morning, church. Stand with me this morning. Where do you stand this morning?
You've been in this storm, it seems like forever, and your night of confusion has been oh so long. Your ship has lost anchor, and the storm's got you drifting. The night's almost over, so ride out your storm, ride out your storm. God's right there with you. You may not feel Him, but you're not alone.
Listen to this.
Morning, it's coming. Just hold on to Jesus and ride out your storm. Remember His promise. I'll never forsake you. Though the waters are raging, for your answer, it's coming. Just hold on to Jesus and ride out your storm. Ride out your storm. God's right there with you.
Thank you for coming this morning. I want to invite you to come back tonight. I guess we'll be across the road over there. I see a good crowd.